Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. I guess I get help this morning, huh? Say hi. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to Only Believe right here in Kenton, Ohio. Amen. Woo! Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I just want to thank you for being here today. And remembering that God is good, and that, amen, and as we open our heart, every day, the Lord is working with us. You know, I thank God that this morning that I was praying, that he reminded me to tell us that sometimes we get excited about the Lord only when things are going perfect, and only when we see the blessing, and only when we've prayed and seen things happen, but God wants me to remind you that he's with you for the good and the bad, amen? He's with you from start to finish, and even when it's not our best moment, he's right there with us, amen? But I'm glad we're here this morning, and I'm glad that we get to come into his presence in this time together to worship him, and we're just going to open up our hearts this morning and see and experience the goodness of God, amen? God bless you.
Hallelujah. Are we ready to worship the Lord this morning? Yes. Woo! How many are thankful for all that God has done? Amen? Woo!
Wandering into the night, wanting a place to hide this weary soul. This bag of bones, but I tried with all my might, and I just can't win the fight. I'm slowly drifting, a vagabond, and just when I choice but to believe. My doubts are burning like ashes in the wind. So long to my old friends, burden and bitterness. You can't just keep it moving, 'cause you ain't welcome here. From now till I walk the streets of gold, I'll sing of how you saved my soul. This wayward son has found his way back home. You picked me up, turned me around, placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because you healed my heart, changed my name forever. I thank the Savior, I thank God.
Come on.
Yeah. Hail us, everyone, I am free. I am free. place my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because you healed my heart, changed my name. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus, Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. 'Cause your name is power, your name is I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety, to every soul held captive by depression. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Break every Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Thank you.
Hallelujah, Jesus. You are worthy. We're going to do a new song. But first, he wants to read you a scripture. Hallelujah. That fits into our new song. Hallelujah.
Now it came to pass, as they went, they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, doest thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art carefully and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her.
Amen.
Thank you.
is where I lay it down. Every burden, every crown. This is my surrender. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down. Every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender. Now we'll make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to, and I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want. Here is where I lay it down. Every burden, every crown. This is my surrender. Yes, Jesus. Where I lay it down. You are all I'm chasing now. This is my surrender. Yes, Jesus. Here is where I lay it down. You are all I'm chasing now. This is my surrender.
Let us learn. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Lord, let us learn to lay it down like Mary laid it down.
God. Hallelujah.
And Father, let us pick it up.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And know that it's all about you.
Amen.
Not to be about everybody else's business or our own business, but about your business, Lord.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Well, God bless you. Thanks for being here this morning. Amen. And I want to say thank you to all the men who fasted with us. Amen. During our fast. It was a great time. We saw the Lord do some tremendous things that gave us confirmation of why we were here and what we were in pursuit of. And we are going to do it again. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Usually when they like what you say, they clap. Amen. I didn't hear not one clap.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.
Two.
Amen. Praise God. I guess they didn't clap as loud as when we're getting together to eat, huh? Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
But no, we really, really had a very significant time with the Lord.
Amen.
And I know that everybody was there. And
amen.
I know the feedback that I got
of
what God's already doing is pretty good. So,
hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And if you were not here on Thursday night, typically we had been live streaming, but we did because Pastor John
And Rachel
Javed were here from Pakistan. And we encourage you to go read that. Do you still have those pictures? Okay. They showed us some pictures of some families, and they gave us their story. Mm-hmm. And it is the most heart-wrenching thing that we Americans cannot even fathom. So if they need money, they can go borrow it. Mm-hmm. From this company's guy, and it's called the Brickyard, right? Because they make these.
That's where they end up, brick kiln.
Huh? Brick kiln, because they make these bricks. They have to make 1,000 bricks, and they get paid $3 once they get 1,000 bricks done. So if they borrow $40 from this guy, and they're not able to pay it back, because he's only paying them $3 for every 1,000, it takes like a week to get that done. And sometimes the kids and the mother is there with them making these bricks to get this quota done. They have to get this quota done because if they don't, they'll make an example out of them, especially if they're Christians. Cut their hands off and all this stuff. I mean, it is the most crazy thing. So they do this and they keep these people enslaved, basically, until they pay off their debt. Well, they can't pay it because $3 a month or a week, is that barely even enough to feed them, you know? It's crazy. Mm-hmm. So they could be serving, and it goes from generation to generation. So if we owed it and couldn't pay it back and work there, Philip's assuming that, and he's going to work there.
Mm-hmm.
And then if he doesn't get to get it paid off,
it doesn't,
then Philip's kids get to go in there and work. Okay, so it's generation to generation until the debt is paid off. But by the time they put interest on this money, and so 20, 25 years, they could owe over $1,000. And that is like $1 million to us, like to them, $5 million to them. Like, it's a lot of money to them. They never get it paid off, so they keep enslaved for all of their life, and then their families the same. So we did take up an offering. They showed us three families. I think the total of it was around $3,500, right? Like $3,600, something for those three families to be freed. So what Pastor John and Pastor Rachel do
is they go and they take the money and they pay off that debt for those that family. They set them free. They bring them into their home. They teach them. They give them life skills. They put them to work so that they can be. And they even said that most of them mm-hmm. end up in the ministry when they get out. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
So be praying for them. Because
it's mostly Christians that they do this to. So.
Can you imagine it? Can you fathom it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. John, that's Camden's out there working right beside you. Mm-hmm. Packing these bricks into this thing. In the heat, in their weather. And that's it. Like, no break, 12-hour days. They work 7 days a week. They get no breaks. Mm-hmm. There's a couple things we can take from this, right? That we in America have absolutely nothing to complain about. What did they say they eat? They ate if they had no money?
Chips
and salsa. So they said, if we have no money, this is what we eat. If people have no money, they eat chips and salsa. And I said, well, here in America, if we ain't got no money, we eat ramen noodles. Right?
Amen.
And we kind of, but we can learn that. Yes, this world, this country is messed up right now. And the word says that there's coming a day where good will be evil and evil will be good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't take away our responsibility to pray.
Amen.
And to stand for what we are to stand for, and that's the Lord. Amen.
Yeah.
But this is still the most blessed country in the world.
Yeah, it was amazing because when we were meeting with them, we said, hey, what's the one biggest thing that you experience or that you appreciate here in America? And they said, freedom. You know, and it reminded me right away that oftentimes, like, when we're driving through Africa, we couldn't go from here to Lima without being stopped at least 2 times by the military police on the side of the road. And they just stop you, and they have barriers on the street. They have spikes on the street. And they just come up, and they look at you. They could pull you over at any minute. They could look at you and see where you're going and why. I'll never forget one time we were traveling down the road and they pulled all of us over, and we had to go down to a police station, and we had to pay them so much money just to be able to get down the road because they said, hey, you were speeding, even though they didn't even have radar on us or anything. They just said, hey, you guys are speeding. We're pulling you all over. And they pulled all of us missionaries over and just made us go down the street. And we could not move until the bishop that we were with came and had some conversation with them. And we ended up having to pay a little debt to just get down the road. And so, you know, when I told them about here and I told them, hey, when we speed, the police will pull us over. And they might just give us a warning, or they'll give us a citation. But even if they give us a citation, it's just a piece of paper to let us know what we have to pay, who we have to call, and we go down the road. And they said, really? They were just amazed at those little liberties that we have. So don't ever take what we live in for granted, because it is a unique thing that we experience, even with all the stuff we got going on. That might not be so good. Amen?
Amen. And we talked to them a little bit because they just built a church too. So they showed us a picture of their building. It's beautiful. It seats thousands, but they had to take the chairs out and lay rugs. And when they have church, everybody sits down on the rugs because there is more room and you can get more people in the room when you sit down on the rug. And they said, don't want to go to the bathroom there during service because it's going to take you 20 minutes to walk through the people. Mm-hmm. Because they're so close together and they're so in there. And then they started to grow so much that the basement, they had to do the same thing to the basement mm-hmm. and put rugs in the basement. And the overflow goes to the basement and sits on rugs in the basement. Yeah. So these guys, actually, Pastor Rachel was born in church.
Yep.
Physically born in church. Because I said, how long have you been?
Mom didn't just go into labor in church. She gave birth in church. Amen.
So, we're just telling you this is good ground.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
These people are good ground. Yeah. We started talking about schedules and all that stuff. Well, their house happens to be up on one of the floors. And their culture, you live with your family. You live with your mom and dad and all that stuff. So their family.
Philip, praise God.
There are some cultures in America that I absolutely love, right?
Yeah, they live with their mom. Everybody lives.
So they live up on the upper floors of the church. They have over 100 employees at the church.
Yeah.
And their house is always busy and full. Mm-hmm. Eric said, I've never been there where people aren't just running in and out. And they're accessible all the time. They're so busy, people are coming to them all the time. I said, well, when do you sleep? 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. That's their sleep window. The rest of the time, they're up doing business for the Lord. They run television shows. They run crusades. They run and get those people and save those people. Yes. Yeah. And buy them, basically buy their freedom. There's more they do.
Yeah.
Like, this is one family. Listen, they have help from their church. Don't get me wrong. But this is, pray for them. Pray for their strength. Because I said, do you ever get a vacation? Do you ever rest? And they said, this is vacation. I said, no. This is not vacation. This is not vacation. Pastor Rebecca said, tell him.
Which, as Mr. Tita does, she is ministering right to what that,
Pastor Rachel was
appreciating. Because she said, yes, tell him. This is not vacation.
This is not vacation.
This is ministry. This is work.
But the one thing we want to do is pray for them. Mm-hmm. Amen? Pray for them. Mm-hmm. Pray that their strength would be restored as they sleep. Pray, just pray for their ministry. Pray that God would bring them more helpers in their journey, and that he would give more people hearts to help them with the brick, what's it called?
Brick kiln.
They don't go in the kiln. That's where you heat the bricks up. Okay.
Praise the Lord.
They don't get burned alive in the brick. I hope they don't.
No.
Bless the Lord.
They don't.
Anyway,
but everything they do,
it just made me appreciate America and made me say, I do nothing for the kingdom. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Really. Yeah. It made me, it just so opened my eyes that we say, oh, we're tired. We don't know what tired is if that's what they do. Right? Mm. It is. Hats off to them. The Lord blesses them. Amen. Lord, keep them. He makes his face shine upon them and give them peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we've got the women's Christmas party coming up on the first Saturday of December. We're excited about it. If you would like to help in any way with that, Stacy is back there with the baby.
Amen.
With little Shane. I call him little Shane. I'm sorry. He looks just like Shane. He's got some strong genes. I don't know.
Woo.
Except for he's
praise
cuter.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
I knew the swipe was coming somehow.
No. And then if you would like to help decorate, we're, and the sisters, raise your hand, the three sisters, Becky, Lissa, and Susan. She's here today. See her? She's right there.
Praise God.
I got yelled at for calling her out the other day when she wasn't here. I said, and then I called Lissa Becky. But I said, you should take that as a compliment because my mom called me Rhonda and Relinda my whole life. And Randy. I'm not even a boy. So that means your family.
Amen.
Amen. And if you would, and they're going to start decorating the church on the day after. Do you hear that? 24th and 25th. If you would like to assist and help them decorate the church for Christmas, you can see Candace or one of the sisters again, Lissa, Susan, and Becky.
Amen.
You need any help? The 17th is going to be our children's Christmas program. One of my favorite parts of Christmas. Yes, I am not a Christmas Carol fan at all, but I love to watch the kids. I love them at Christmas time. I love them all the time, but Christmas time, I just love them preach the word of God.
Uh-huh.
That's what they're doing. Amen. So what else do we got going on? Did I miss anything? We won't have a men's breakfast this month because of Thanksgiving. Thursday, we will not have service on Thursday, but we'll pick up again on Sunday morning, ready to just worship the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So do some exercises on Saturday to get ready for Sunday so that you work some of that turkey off. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.
And then, of course, Christmas Eve is on a Sunday this year. So we will have our regular service in the morning, and then we'll have our Christmas Eve service at 6 that night.
Amen. Praise God.
And that's all I've got.
It'll be a good day. Amen.
I'll leave that water for you.
Hallelujah. All right. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, this time we better let those children, if they're still here, take off.
Real quick, Hallelujah. If you were not here and you want, Phil's just going to take up one offering. But if you weren't here and you want to give an offering towards those families, just write on your envelope to Free Families, okay? And so we'll know to put them with what we took up on Thursday night and send them that money.
Right. So right now when we do our regular offering, did we get rid of the teens too? Amen. But right now when we do our regular offering, if you weren't here Thursday and after hearing this story, you want to give for freedom for those families, then just write Free Families on your envelope. Amen. As we give our regular tithes and offerings today. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to remind you that what you do when it comes to tithe, offering, giving, and even your faith is not just for you in one generation. Amen. I want you to know something, that by releasing your faith, both how you live by faith, and then also in the areas of tithes and offerings, you can reach into the next generations that follow you. And I just want to read something here for you, because I want to tell every one of you that part of the reason I'm here today is because of my mother's giving. Because, first of all, the Lord saved the best for last. Amen. Praise God, because I'm the youngest of 7 children. And also, it took a lot of extra effort to create me, praise God, because my mom actually spent 5 months in the hospital carrying me. And I will tell you that the doctors came to my mother repeatedly and told her, Annie, you should be happy with the 6 children you got. Said, you know, because this pregnancy is not looking healthy. We believe that you're going to die and your baby's going to die, or at least one of you are going to die, and certainly your baby's not going to survive. So you need to end this thing right now and keep yourself safe. And so my mom, during that time, would give to Oral Roberts Ministries, and she wrote him a letter and said, Oral Roberts, you know, I need you to pray because I'm in a dire situation, and they're telling me that medically they want me to get rid of my baby. And thank God, he wrote my mom back and said, hey, Annie, first of all, I want you to know that you have been one of our most faithful givers from the time we started this ministry, and we pray for you and your family regularly. He said, and I want you to know that I believe your baby's going to be a male child, and he's going to be a preacher of the gospel. Yeah. And he said, so I believe that God's going to help you in every way through this situation. So when the doctors came to meet with my mom, she said, hey, I want you to know something, doctor. She said, you know, I was praying, and first, she said, the Lord showed me that you didn't see one of my 6 children, because for 4 years they told her she could never have children. And it was my mom's biggest dream, was to have a big family. But she said, so not only that, but I want you to know something. If you couldn't see my 6 babies, how could you see this 7th baby? So how about my baby doesn't die and I don't die. How about we both just live in Jesus' name? Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. But I want you to know that not just that deposit, but other deposits of my mom's faith worked in my life. And I just want to share with you in the book of Hebrews chapter 7 that they're explaining how Abraham first paid tithes to a great priest named Melchizedek, which obviously was representative of the Son of God, Jesus, and he did that. And it says here in the Bible, in Hebrews chapter 7, it says in verse 7, and without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here, men that die receive tithes, but there he receives them, of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. And as I may so say, Levi also, who receives tithes, paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. And what that means is that because of Abraham giving, it was as though in his lineage, tithing was being done by even those his descendants who were not born yet. So I want you to know that I truly believe, just like the prodigal's father, that your faith can make room for those who you love and those who come after you. So make sure that you remember that what you're doing, even when they crossed the Red Sea, remember the Lord said, and when they crossed the Jordan, he said, hey, put up stones so that when those descendants come after you, you can explain to them how God blessed you and what God did. And so we have to make sure that we're not just living for today and living for ourselves, but we're also living for those who we love, our children, our grandchildren. I believe that they're blessed. I believe that Pastor Regina's and our grandchildren and our grandbabies today are receiving such a deposit in the Lord because of the decisions we make. And so I want you to know something, that open your faith in all areas and make sure that you make room for what God wants to do. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, we just pray your blessing, God, over the tithes and offerings today, Father. And we thank you for the work that you do in our lives and the lives of others, Father. Lord, I just declare your goodness, and I thank you, Father, that even our descendants, Father, are going to benefit from the faith that we release, Father. And Lord, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Amen. I'm just going to mention to you an afterthought that I always forget about during offering, and that is that, of course, we have the traditional way, the old school way of bringing our tithes and offerings here and physically putting them in. But I also want you to know that there are applications out there online and how you guys use your phone and all that stuff to do all that. So if you need any information on that, you can just see Miss Pastor Regina on that stuff, because I don't know how you do that, but I do know that that's available, and lots of people use that option, and I thank God for it. Amen. And I'm just glad to be with you this morning. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm going to start with one of the scriptures I thought I was going to finish with today, and I'm going to go to Mark chapter 6, and I want to just read to you about this, because we're just simply going to talk about faith today. And even when I was sitting there thinking about talking about faith with you, you know, I was just wanting to make sure that the Lord wanted me to talk about faith with you. And the Lord just reminded me that everything we talk about in the Word of God is precious. Everything we talk about in the Word of God is out of His wisdom, has supernatural elements about it, and it's not meant for us to take it lightly or to take it common. And I know that all of us here honor God and honor faith and put him first. But the Lord wanted me to just start right here because I want to remind you of something that happened to Jesus when people were too familiar with him and didn't reverence him as who he truly was as the Son of God. And it says in Mark chapter 6, verse 1, he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence have this man these things? Another scripture says that nobody spoke with the authority that Jesus spoke with. So they were looking at him and they were astonished because of what he was saying and how he was saying it. And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Here they are, knowing that he's doing great things, but they're trying to deny it. And it says right here, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, and of Judah and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went round about the villages teaching. I want you to know that. What is this scripture saying to us? This scripture is saying that because the people that lived in Jesus' hometown and may have known his story from his youth, they could not receive him truly as who he was as the Son of God. And because they could not receive him, and because they were not honoring him as who he was, understand this, they received less from him than what was available. You know, it says that before he came to his own town, there were great and mighty works that he was doing. And after he left his hometown, there were great and mighty works that he did immediately in the scriptures, in the chapters preceding and following this moment. But I just want to make sure that today, in our faith and in our walk with the Lord, we never become mundane in the things of God. You know, the Bible says that hope deferred will make a spirit sick. And what I want you to know is that sometimes in this thing that we're traveling through and navigating called life, we have to make sure that we maintain a reverence for the Lord in all things. You know, I want you to know something, that we have to make sure that we don't get too casual in following God. You know, I want you to know that I'm not against people reading with music playing in the background and things like that. But I also want you to know that sometimes when you're in the Word of God, you may need to shut the TV off. You may need to get away from all the technology and all the blessings that we have today. Unless sometimes you might be traveling or whatever, or doing whatever, or you might be reading the Word on your iPad or your phone. I'm not opposed to those things. All I'm saying is make sure that we're setting an atmosphere where we know God is being reverenced. I want you to know, I realized later that it was because he was so desperate to see me change and I needed it so bad. That it was funny because there was times where I would just tell Miss Regina, hey, I'm going to be reading the Word. And I'll never forget that one time somebody came to the door and she was very polite to them. And she said, hey, I'm sorry. He can't be interrupted right now. He's very busy. And if you get a hold of him later, I'm sure I'll let him know that you stopped by and he'll see you later. And right away, it just set me aside to reverence the fact that when I'm studying and when I'm with the Lord, I'm actually in unity with him. And I should reverence him just like I would reverence you or anybody else if we were in a conversation or if we were spending time together, and it just reminded me of how important it was to make sure that, like I make room for everything else, I definitely need to make room for the Lord. And so I want us to understand something, that as we walk by faith, as we're on this journey to walk by faith, we need to make sure that in our heart we are reverencing the things of the Lord, and that we are prioritizing the things of God, and that we're setting those things that God gives us above other things. I want you to know something, that one thing I never want you to do is I don't ever want you to take away from what's available to you in the Word of God. I want to make sure that we are certain and our hearts are open to understand that the Word of God is available to us right now, and that God has an expectation for us to walk in that Word and to make sure that our heart is open to who the Lord is to us. Amen? You know, it says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So what this word really means is that part of our justification, part of our identity, part of who we are, part of what verifies our walk with God is that we live by faith. In other words, we put the ways and the things of God before anything else in our life. Amen? And we use the ways and the Word of God to judge every part of our life. Amen? And to make sure that when we walk in the relationships we have, that our walk and our relationships have boundaries that are set by the Bible. Amen? Hallelujah. And so I just want to make sure that we are walking with the Lord and that we're walking in His goodness. Somehow I'm making lots of noise up here, but let's put that behind us. Amen. Matthew chapter 9, I want you to just hear that the Lord is dealing with some folks that came to Him. And it says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 27, "When Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed Him, crying, saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And when He was come into the house, the blind men came to Him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this." In other words, guess what? A part of their faith was establishing Christ as who He was. Before Jesus even answered these men, He said, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" In other words, do you believe that I'm the Son of God? Do you believe I'm the Messiah? Do you believe that within me I have the power and the authority by my Father to do that which He has sent me to do? And He said, "Do you believe that I am able to do this? Do you believe that I am who I am, that I am who I say I am to you?" They said unto Him, "Yea, Lord." Then touched He their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it unto you." And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, "See that no man knoweth it." But they, when they were departed, spread about His fame in all that country. Hallelujah. But I want you to see something here, that the Lord said, "According to your faith." Amen. I'm saying this to you today because I want you to know how real your faith is. I want you to know that your faith, when it's released with Jesus' heart and love in you, that your faith will produce things in life. Amen? And that your faith makes a way for you, and that your faith opens doors and things to you that no other way is going to be open to you. I want you to know that when we get to live by faith, and when we get to walk by faith, and when we get to release our faith, it leads us to powerful, powerful situations and moments. I'm going to read something else to you right here in the same book, in the next, the preceding chapter before where we just read. I believe And I just want you to hear another time where Jesus was just impressed or Jesus was honoring somebody's understanding of who he was. And we're going to read Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. It says, when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say unto this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. And he say unto the, and I say unto you that many will come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out unto outer darkness because they wouldn't believe in him. Amen. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. And again, I want you to know, what was the key to this man receiving? It was the very fact that, first of all, he reverenced the Lord as who he was. I want you to know that in these stories, when we read these stories, I want you to know that these people have heard and have saw the work that Jesus was doing. And they had to make a determination, just like the disciples. Remember one time the Lord said to the disciples, who do men say that I am? And they said, oh, some think you're a great prophet. Some say you're this, some say you're this. And the Lord instinctively looked at them and said, who do you say I am? I want you to know that I thank God that in our individual lives, our understanding and revelation of Jesus supersedes everything else. Praise the Lord. I thank God that even those who do not think that myself or you or someone would be worthy of receiving Jesus as Lord, I thank God that their opinion doesn't rate on the radar of Jesus. Amen. Woo! I thank God that the only revelation that counts is who in my heart do I say the Lord is. And the Lord said to Peter, based upon your revelation of who I am and based upon the revelation that the church grabs a hold of who I am, I will be the rock that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. I want you to understand something, that you today need to understand that all it takes is you reverencing the Lord, you putting him where he belongs, and I promise you that he will start shifting things in your life. Praise the name of the Lord. The Lord will remove disappointment and hardship, and he will bring forth those things that are powerful and needed in our life. I want to read to us in Romans chapter 10, a very popular scripture here. Well, before I go to Romans chapter 10, I'm going to go to another place in the book of Romans chapter 4, and I just want you to see how reverential we ought to be when it comes to things like faith and our confession. Because here's something powerful that it says about God himself. It says in Romans chapter 4, verse 16, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. But to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of faith, which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. That's what God spoke to him. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. You know, I think that it's amazing that if we recognize what the scripture is saying to us, is that God is allowing us to walk in the ways that he walks. He spoke as things that were not, and so they became. And I want you to understand something, that God needs us to speak that way too. I'm going to show you just in a minute here how our faith journey becomes from us doing exactly what the Lord did. Remember when God came upon the earth, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, that the earth was without form and void. Darkness ruled on the earth, and it wasn't in the order that we see it today. It wasn't until the Lord spoke about light and dark. It wasn't until the Lord spoke over the firmaments and put them in place and held the seas by his word and put those things in order and did those things. And I want you to know something, that God does in our life an order of reminding us that we are made in his image. So therefore, if we're made in his image, don't you think we ought to do things the way the Lord tells us to do them? Amen? And so we're just going to look at this next step. If God speaks over those things that aren't until they become, what do we need to do to make sure that we see his work in our life? And we're going to look at Romans chapter 10. And I just love this because it's the basic beginning and the foundation of how faith ought to be working in our life. And it says in Romans chapter 10, verse 8, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For this is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want you to know something, that the Lord shows us how faith should work in our life. First of all, we should hear the word preached or receive the word through the hearing of faith by us reading the word of God. And then when we see what the word of God says, not only should we believe in our heart, but you know what? Confession needs to be made. I want you to know something, that we should get saved and receive the Lord. But I also want you to know that we need to confess the other parts of the word about who we are. You know? We need to start saying, hey, this may have been what I was like before I was saved, but I'm no longer this. I'm no longer this. I'm no longer that. You know, I want you to know that sometimes, even in our salvation, the enemy will try to bring back moments where we did do that which was wrong before the Lord, before we were saved. I got a revelation for you. Sometimes the enemy will bring something to us that we did wrong since we've been saved. But remember, the Bible says, my little children, remember that if, now that word if means that we should actively be trying to live holy, amen? We should actively be trying to do our best to live the way the Lord would have us live. But if we find ourselves in a fault or in a way that is not pleasing to God, or if we find ourselves in a sin, the Bible doesn't say give up. The Bible doesn't say quit, walk away. The Bible doesn't say condemn yourself, give up, lose hope, stop pursuing, and just accept the fact that you're not good enough. That's a lie from the pit of hell. The Bible never says that to us. In fact, he says even if you fall down, yea, seven times. Get yourself back up, amen? But in the midst of that, it says, don't celebrate the idea that you sin, but be thankful that you have an advocate. Woo! One who will stand for us, one who's interceding for us. It says, be thankful that you have an advocate in Christ Jesus who will forgive your sin and will restore you to who you are. Amen? And so we need to make sure that when we live by faith, we have an overwhelming understanding that the Lord is not only our shepherd and we shall not want, but he is our salvation, he is our redeemer, and he's the one who has made us to be who we are in the Lord. Amen? And I just want to remind us that just like we get a revelation of the word and we start confessing who the Lord is as our Lord and Savior, then I'm telling you, this is how we need to make a stance about everything else. Amen? I think it's interesting because sometimes people can come along and shake our faith on lots of things. But if we've truly been saved and we truly have a revelation of God's changing grace that has made us whole, I'm not saying that there's not times where we're shaken. I'm not saying that there's not times where we might not be as confident, but I am saying this. Nobody can steal that personal revelation from us. Nobody can steal the fact that, hey, I may not be perfect, but one thing I know is that I'm saved, I'm redeemed through the blood, I will go to heaven, and I will live for the Lord. Amen? And I want you to understand something, that if we can have that revelation about our salvation, this is the kind of revelation we need to take into other areas to see the Lord turn it around. Amen? You know, I want you to remind you that with men, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Amen? It's possible to be a person that was bad with finances and turn out to be a person that can handle finances. Amen? It might be possible, it might be impossible to break addictions off our life if we do it by ourselves. But when we allow the Lord, I want you to know it's possible. Amen? Some of us have experienced things that have brought on such trauma that we thought we'd have to live under it for the rest of our life. But I want you to know something, that if we hunker down and allow God to take it over, we can be redeemed from that. I want to remind you that Paul one time said, hey, if I've forgiven anyone, I've done it in Christ. You know, when we start wanting to forgive people or even forgive ourselves, I want you to know that that's not something we can do on our own power. That's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus went to the cross. That's why Jesus is the one who redeems us. That's why when we believe on him, he's Lord and Savior, and he redeems us, is because we can't do these things by ourselves. But when we give it to the Lord will help move us into these things and help us overcome and help us walk in a way that we could not walk by ourselves. And I just like to always go to this scripture whenever I'm talking about your faith and how it begins and how your confession overrode the gates of hell and how your confession of salvation was so powerful. I want you to know something, that the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, 1 through 4, it says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him, that begot, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I want you to understand something. How powerful is your faith? Sometimes we don't even recognize it, but I want you to see something here. Your faith was so powerful that when we were serving the devil, so to speak, because we were unsaved, hallelujah, amen. Woo! It's a reality check for us. If we're not actively serving God, we're even unwillingly serving the dark one, amen? But I want you to understand something, that when we didn't even have a good relationship with God, when we weren't even walking with Him, when we were living in sin, cussing, fussing, doing whatever it was that we did as sinners, addictions, drinking, fornicating, sleeping around, doing whatever we wanted to do, making our own decisions, however that was going on, I want you to know something, that however, whether it was in church, on a TV program, or somebody one-on-one witnessed to you, or if you just made a decision in your own heart because you knew something about the Lord and all of a sudden you just realized that you're living out there by yourself and it got too much for you and you called on the Lord, whatever the circumstance is that had you call on the Lord, I want you to know something, that you need to recognize that at that moment when the devil had the most control he would ever have over your life, even your sin and his desire to keep you there till he killed you was not big enough than your one moment of saying, Lord, I need saved. And if when we're at our weakest moment in life, backslidden or unsaved, out of active relationship with God, living in our life in ways that we know aren't pleasing to the Lord, if in those moments we can turn to the Lord and break off all of those chains and step into the freedom of salvation, if it be true that we can do it in our weakest moment, what's going to happen when we start living by faith? What's going to happen when we start getting in pursuit of God? What's going to happen when we actively start saying, Lord, I want to please you. I want to know you. I want to live this life the way you want me to live this life. I want you to know something. If the work of God, this scripture that said that this overcomes the world, your faith overcomes the world. And what that means is that your faith is bigger than the challenges you have in life. Your faith is bigger than those things that are trying to tear you down, minimize you, make you feel unvaluable, or steal your joy, or steal your hope, or steal your life. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, sometimes the things that are fighting against us and the things that we can see right in front of our face, the relationships that have struggles and the finances that are not working out right and the difficulties that are coming against us and the challenges about our life that we can see right in front of our face, I want you to understand something. The enemy is trying to distract you to believe it's never going to get better. He wants to keep you in the moment. And the worst thing he's trying to do is stop you from stepping back and saying, okay, God, I've done all this on my own. Now I'm going to have to make room for you and do it your way. Because every time we do that, we're going to see the Lord lead us through those moments and bring us out on the other side. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Remember, we're soldiers. It doesn't mean that we're going to come out unscarred. Doesn't mean that we're going to come out every time unscathed. But it does mean that we're going to come out. I want to read something to you because this is in the middle of a time where the disciples were not successful and what they were trying to do. And they were having a situation here that was not the best, praise God. And they had prayed for somebody, and it hadn't worked out the way that it was supposed to. And the disciples are dealing with this moment of failure, and the Lord comes up, and it says in Matthew chapter 17, verse 14, it says, When they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth in the fire and oftentimes in the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. In other words, what the Lord was saying, hey, all you need to do is make sure that you believe when you're in situations where you need my help. You know, it's interesting because when the Lord talks about a mustard seed of faith here, I want you to know something, that a mustard seed is a very small element. But here the Lord said a mustard seed of faith could actually remove a mountain out of your life. Remember, I want to remind you that sometimes we condemn ourselves when we don't see everything to work the way we want to. And I'm telling you, don't you dare condemn yourself. Just ask the Lord for help. Remember, there's a scripture where a man was in a situation and he said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. In other words, Lord, even when I'm out here in these waters and they're a little too deep for me, I need your help. And don't be ashamed to say, Lord, I need your help. If we're not careful, sometimes pride will enter in at a moment where we need humility. Don't be afraid to say, Lord, I don't understand. Don't be afraid to say, Lord, I need help. Remember, the Bible says that if we lack wisdom in any situation, call upon him and he will give it. Praise the Lord. You know, the biggest thing the enemy ever wants to do for us is to allow shame to become a place of pride instead of a place of humility where we ask the Lord for help. You know, the devil will try to isolate us sometimes, make us feel like we're the only one. Make us feel that, and listen, we're all unique. We're all peculiar. I know I'm strange. I'm not afraid of my peculiarness, but I'll also tell you this. I don't think I'm so unique that I'm the only one that's ever went through what I've gone through. I don't think I'm so unique that the blood of Jesus can't overcome, redeem, heal, and set me free from my yesterday. Woo! I'm not so special that I can do anything that's bigger than the Lord. Now, with that being said, am I justifying sins? Absolutely not. The Bible says that the grace of God is upon us. Does that mean that we get to sin freely? No! We still have to work. We still have to make sure that we're living as holy as we can. We have to make sure that we're breaking habits and coming out of old places and coming out of dark places and shedding things off and becoming more mature in the Lord. We have to make sure that we continue to do that. We have to make sure that we continue to grow and move in the Lord. But also, we need to have a confidence that the Lord knows us and he's always going to be bigger than who we are in our moments. Amen? Hallelujah. We've got to make sure that we understand that faith in the Lord, even a mustard seed of faith, will do that which is supernatural, that which is wonderful, that which is great, and that which is bigger than who we are. Amen? I just want to don't know why I'm going here, but I'm just going to go here because I just think we need to read it, praise God. You know, I want you to know that the Lord sees and knows that we're going to have issues and things that we're going to have to overcome. At the end of the book of John, chapter 16 and verse 31, Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." I want to remind you that the most important thing you can remember is that even if some of those people who are close to you can't handle it when the fire gets hot like it did for Jesus going to the cross, remember that the Lord will never leave you or forsake you, and he's there in the midst of what you're going through. It says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation." In other words, even the most holy, best of Christians, even people who are mature, living for the Lord and doing their best to live for him, are gonna come across moments in this life and in our humanity that are difficult to handle. And the Lord gives us this assurance and understanding and let us know that, hey, just because you live for me doesn't mean that you ain't gonna get rocky roads and have hard places, but it does mean this, that even in the middle of those tough situations, you can still have good cheer or peace, or you can have confidence, or you can rest in me and know that I have overcome the world. Praise God. I want you to know something, that sometimes life will bring us to moments where we start to question and we start to get insecure and we start to wonder. And I'm just telling you right now that the Lord is saying to us, even in our toughest moments, remember that he's there with us. Remember that he loves us. And I want to remind you that on your best day, yes, the Lord is cheering you. Remember when the disciples came back and told him, "Oh my goodness, Lord, we did this and this in your name." And he was joyful and he said, "That's great. And I'm glad that you're having this moment. But I also want you to remember that above these things, remember to keep your relationship with him, who one day has to decide over your life whether you have followed him or not." Amen? Praise the Lord. In other words, thank God for our good moments and our miracles and all of that. But don't be so excited about that stuff that we overshadow the most important thing. And that is that the Lord has saved us, redeemed us, and set us free. And in him, we're free indeed. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just exalt you today, Father. We declare your goodness, Father. And Lord, we want to live by faith. We want to be, God, not ashamed of the gospel. And Lord, we want to make sure that our heart is open to you, Father. That we have a reverence for you. That we honor you. And that we keep you at the foremost of our life and our journey. And Lord, we thank you that the faith you've given us to be saved is the faith that will help us when we're sick, the faith that will help us when we're in the middle of financial issues, the faith that will help us in relationships, the faith that will help us forgive, the faith that will help us give mercy, the faith that will help us love, and the faith that will have the patience to walk this race and to live this race and to live this life in the fullness of who you are right up to the time that we finish our course. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to pray for Kim's grandson, Max. Aww. Father, in the name of Jesus, we speak over these procedures that Max is going through, Father, that your hand would be upon this team that's working with him, Lord. That, Father, your healing touch would be in every step. And, Father, not only will it work out, God, it would be beyond their expectation, Father. And Max would be just beyond even good in this, Father. He'll come through this process very well, Father. And, Lord, he will be completely healed in the mighty name of Jesus, and we thank you for it. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for God, this precious lady and this family, Father, that had this accident, Lord. And we pray over this child that was in the car and was life-flighted. Father, we pray, Father, for healing, for recovery. We're thankful, Father, that people survived this accident, God. And now we thank you that the restoration process of healing and recovery, Father, Lord, for all involved, Father, that everything around this situation would be resolved, Lord. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. For all of those who are watching online, we thank you today that the Lord is working in your life and that the Lord is doing things for you. He's with you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. And just lean into him because he's there to help you every day. Amen? And we thank God for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, right now, close your eyes for a minute. Is there anybody here that's not saved today? Or anybody here who feels like they're backslidden or they've moved away from God, and today you just want to right that situation and make sure that you are where you need to be with the Lord? If that's you, just right there at your seat, raise your hand. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I don't see any hands, so I'm believing, God, that we're all saved, that we're all walking with him, and that we all know who he is. Amen? And I just want to open things up to say thank you for being here. Have a blessed, blessed week. And anybody that needs prayer, I'm going to be available to pray with you, okay? Amen. God bless you. Thanks for being here.